Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the G-Spot with Mika Ray. It has been a long time. It's been about a week since I've been on here, so I have missed you guys, and I hope you have missed me as well. And, of course, you are listening to the G-Spot with Mika Ray on blogtalkradio.com/WJBR. And I'm really looking forward to our topic tonight. I have chosen to talk about, I was trying to do a series where parents are able to discuss sex with their kids. There is an extreme importance for us to talk about sex with our children because we don't want them going out there in the world learning it from everyone else and then getting the wrong information and or hearing biased opinions and things that just may not be true. So we want to be able to talk about it with our kids on our own. And we want them to feel comfortable enough to share their feelings with us regarding sex. It's very extremely important. So tonight's topic, we are discussing talking about sexual identity with your children. How do we discuss this with our kids? How do we tell our children that we are same loving, you know, same gender loving parents? How do we talk to our kids about our neighbors, you know, or when our children go to school and they see two mommies pick up their classmate and they come home and they have those questions, how do we discuss it? And furthermore, how do we even discuss it with our teachers in school? Like when we, you know, we send our children to school, two mothers send our children to school, and the teacher doesn't understand that the child can't make something for daddy. They have two mommies to make something for. So my guest tonight, because my two co-hosts, they're not able to make it, which I'm extremely apologetic for. However, I do have someone on the phone with me now, and she has some personal testimony and some things that she would love to share with us. And let's see if she's on the phone. Hey, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Excited to talk about this topic.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I've had when you talk about you know, same sex relationships, I think about when my dad first asked me was I gay? It was so hilarious. I was in the bed, I was about 12 or 13 years old, and he came in the room after getting ready for work, like at 5 o'clock in the morning. He just taps me on the shoulder, and he's like, hey, baby, I got a question for you. And I'm like, okay, what's up? And he's like, are you Fruity? And he did his hand like a little, you know how people do their hand like you gay. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. And I turned over all shy. But ultimately, he said, you know what? I love you. You're my baby. I don't care what's going on with you. You can always tell me, you know, and I already knew anyway. That just validated so much for me. I felt like I was on top of the world because my dad was like, I love you regardless. You know, and I think about other kids who parents don't give them the same reaction and how bad they feel and how it can lead to suicide or homelessness, you know. So I think this topic is really good, and it's a really important topic.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that story, and it just kind of, in a way, reminds me a little bit of my story. I kind of, you know, I normally don't talk about my sexuality on the show, but of course, a lot of people who follow me, they already know. So, but when I talked to my mom about it, she just, her main thing was, well, are you pregnant, honey? And I'm like, no, I'm not pregnant. And then her next question was, well, as long as you don't dress like a boy, we're good to go. I'm like, oh, okay. So we made it very, very simple for me. I just did not have to dress like a boy, and life can go on.
Okay, so that's why you keep them heels on.
Right, I have some conditions to meet for my mama.
That's hilarious.
Yes, yeah, so I'm really looking forward to discussing this, and I really want to hear a lot of what you have to say based on your experience, dealing with kids in a same-sex
relationship. Yeah, absolutely. I my previous relationship, I was with her, my ex had a daughter. She was 3 when I got in her life, and we broke up when her daughter was about 8. And so I just remember going through all these different phases. Like you said, when the kid, you know, goes to school and it's Christmas time. And I remember the teachers sending home gifts, and it said one for mommy, one for daddy. And I'm sitting here looking like, man, this is messed up. Pop's not even around. I mean, can I get some acknowledgement? You know, I'm here taking care of her, and I don't think that's fair, you know. And it tore me up a lot that I wasn't being acknowledged for, you know, the hard work that I was doing within my family. So eventually we went to the school and just had a talk with the teacher and said, look, you know, she has 2 mommies. You know, when you send cookies here for daddy, and daddy hasn't been around for 6 months, you know, the cookies get molded. And you kind of get tired of, you know, our daughter looking at the cookies like, man, I want to get these cookies to dad. When am I going to be able to get these cookies to dad? You know, so it kind of psychologically messes the kid up as well. So it was awesome, you know, after speaking to the teacher, you know, and then the next activity they had, she came home with 2 cards, and one said, mommy number 1 and mommy number 2. I thought that was pretty cool. I think ultimately, man, we just have to educate people and make them knowledgeable about your family dynamic. And you just never know how things will turn out.
I think that's a great story. I would like to know, how did you have a conversation with her teacher, and how comfortable were you discussing that with her teacher?
Well, my ex already pretty much built a good rapport with the teacher, and so the teacher already knew that she was in a lesbian relationship. The dad had been around a couple times before to visit the school, so they knew what it was. But a lot of times the teachers just they following protocol, or they're going, you know, with the curriculum or a way in which they used to doing things. You know, when they syllabus to say make a card for mommy and daddy, they just follow that. They don't think about the individual kid situation. So we definitely enlightened her on, you know, on some things.
I think that's very beautiful, and I think that we have to make an effort to talk to the teachers because, like you said, they're following protocol. They're doing what they're supposed to do according to state guidelines. And they're not, it's because we're on auto drive to say mama, daddy, mama, daddy, mama, daddy, mama, daddy. We're not programmed enough to say 2 moms, 2 dads. So I think we first have to start off, like you said, having a conversation with teachers, letting them know what's going on in the household, and hopefully they can be accommodating to us and not have the kids feeling out of, out of the loop or abnormal. We want to make it as normal of an experience as we can. But I have another question for you. Did she, meaning the child, did she ever have to deal with any type of backlash from the kids in regards to having 2 moms?
No. You know, surprisingly, I mean, kids don't think about stuff like that. It's the adults that we have tend to have a problem with. And I'll give you a perfect example. One of the kids at the school was having a sleepover. And, you know, our kid didn't get invited. And we're like, man, we got the most popular kid in school. You know, we wondering why she didn't get invited. And later on, we found out that the mom wasn't comfortable with me being around the other kids, the other little girls, because it was like five or six little girls having a slumber party, but the parents would be there, like, for the first portion just to acclimate the kids, you know, have a little party, and then when it was bedtime, they were going to do, you know, something with tents and everything. And I actually had to go and talk to this lady and say, look, you know, I don't understand why you feel the way you feel. I don't understand that, you know. And it made me feel uncomfortable, and it made our kids feel like, man, why you can't come? Why can only mommy only come? And I'm like, you know, sometimes some people aren't going to be, everyone is not going to like you. Everyone is not going to be comfortable with the way you do things. And that's okay. People can have their own opinion. But like I always say, you know, it's good to educate people. You know, and through time, they ended up being one of our best families, you know, to hang out with and do activities with the kids with. But it just took me, you know, going to have a talk with her and telling her a little bit about myself so that she could get comfortable with me. Because she just didn't know how I would be.
What was her fear, though? I'm not sure I understand.
Her fear was she sees this. Basically, she felt like I was like a boy, like a manly boy. Because I'm a stud. Well, you guys, I'm a stud. I dress aggressive like a man. And but I don't have a manly demeanor. And she was just judging me on my clothing. You know, she didn't, and I couldn't understand what her hang up was either, but what I took from the conversation was that she just really feels uncomfortable with lesbians and that whole dynamic, and she didn't want to confuse her kid, I guess. I don't know. But after talking to her, she opened up a little bit to my ex at the time. And like I said, everything was just, you know, over and done with. We were actually able to hang out a couple times, and she was cool.
Well, I'm really happy that that ended up working out. And I do think that conversations are the best way to go when it comes to dispelling stereotypes. Which is, of course, the reason why I do the show that I do, is to get people to talking. Because the more we talk, the less ignorant we are to certain things and what happens regarding sex. And the more we will talk about it, and the more we will explore, and the more we will become open to it. And that opens our children up to it, then our neighbors and everybody else. And then now we can start having real honest conversations about different things. So I think that was a very mature move that you made. What I'm going to do is play a song, and then I'm going to come back, and I wanted to talk to you about a few more things before we wrap up, so I hope you stick around.
Okay, I'll hang in there.
Well, thank you all for coming back to the G Spot with Mika Ray. So we just had a little musical interlude with Lucy Pearl Dance tonight, and I will be playing a little bit more music throughout the evening because this topic can get a little heavy, and so I want to kind of break it up a little bit with some music. So, caller, are you still there? I don't think I can hear you.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you very much for joining us again. So as a parent, as a person who was a parent, who was in a relationship, what advice can you give heterosexual parents in regards to their kids seeing two mommies and two daddies? You know, maybe when it's the when a child has to have the parents come for lunch at school and they see it's two mommies that are coming or two daddies, you know, that are coming for the lunch day at the school. What advice do you give heterosexual parents?
I think, first of all, depending on the age of the child, you need to know your kid. You know, parents, you should just pay attention to you just have to know your kid, how mature they are and where they are with their thinking. And ask them questions. Ask them why they're curious about it and ask them what they know or what their understanding is of a relationship. What is a relationship to them? And then there's all types of reading materials that you can get from the bookstore. I know we bought our daughter a book, I forget the name of it, but it was a story about two mommies, and it was just basically telling her how great it was to have two mommies, and it just put it in a child's perspective, you know. If you're dealing with a teenager or you know someone older, I'm pretty sure that they're going to be mature enough to have that type of conversation. They probably already know and understand what a gay or lesbian relationship is. So, man, I don't know. I don't know. You just have to know your kid.
I think that's a very good point. This is what I always tell parents. And eventually our kids are going to ask about this because this is something, of course, that's a little bit more prominent and a little bit more visual, I would say, in society. So, you know, I've seen it where my cousins, they're like, is that your girlfriend? And they're like four or five and 6 years old. And I'm like, well, that's my friend. Because I'm not sure how to have that conversation myself. But
right, and it's not your place to have that conversation with someone else's child either. Because you don't know what you don't know if they talked right, exactly.
And so I ended up, you know, I said that's my friend because to me that was appropriate. But I did end up talking to my aunt about it, and she said, "Well, I think they already know that's your girlfriend, and so it's okay if you confirm it with them." So I had a talk with them, and I let them know, "Yep. This is my girlfriend. This is someone that I like a lot." And they were okay with it. What they had an issue with, though, were two men. And they talked about seeing two men together and how they didn't understand that. I guess to them, two females are okay because females can be friends. And it doesn't look like a relationship, I guess. But it was strange to them to see two men together, and that was a very hard thing to discuss with them. Even with their mother present, we didn't know how to talk about it with them. But it has to be discussed, and we love to avoid the subject because, of course, we always say, well, we don't want to talk about sex, but sex is such a minute part of the relationship between same gender loving individuals. That's not the most important
right.
thing to discuss. The thing is to teach them that just like you see, you know, if you're a heterosexual parent, just like you see me and daddy, you know, together, you may see two women and two men together. And they may
right.
share the same bed, and they may pay the same bills, or, you know, one may stay at home and cook. You know, it's just basically making it very childlike when you talk about it and not
right.
making it anything.
Well, even a, I think even a bigger, even bigger than that, I remember when I was about 30 years old, and it was my first, no, I wasn't 30. I was actually in my 20s, and I was having a talk with my mom, and she was like, oh, well, you know, you're never here, because at this time I had just moved here, and I was staying with her, and she said, you're never here. I just don't know what's going on with you. And I said, wow, well, what do you think I do when I leave the house? And she said, I think you leave and go have orgies with your friends.
Oh, my.
And I fell out. Right. I said, have orgies with my friends. What make you think that? And she said, well, I don't know. All I see in media and all I read about is how lesbians have sex with each other, and I just think that's what you guys do. I only know what I know. So why don't you tell me what you do when you leave the house? And, it, you know, we have light conversation. That's a light conversation. Like, we just laughed about it. But I was like, man, you really think that? And she said, yes. You know, that's. I mean, I just think you go to sex parties and, you know, you're always with a girl, you know, doing stuff. And, I had to let her know that I'm like, sex isn't even 10% of my life. I don't even like sex like that. I mean, it's dessert. It's not the main course of my life, you know. So I had to really break down to her that, you know, gay people, gay and lesbian people are the same as straight people. We're probably more normal than straight people or what is supposed to be normal, you know. even adults have to have that conversation. You know, it's not only, you know, adolescents or teenagers.
I think that's a very good point that you've made, that we have such a convoluted view, like society has such a convoluted view of what lesbian and gay relationships are. And they do just point out the sex, that it's all about having sex and that you're supposed to have sex, and that's it. That's the relationship. It's sex, 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 sex.
Right.
And then it's sex with multiple people all during the day. You don't work. You don't have a job. You're not educated. It's like you don't have anything else to do but have sex in life. And it's so...
Right.
It's
that's what I had to ask her. I said, man, when did I have time to mentor those kids and serve in the military and do all the other things that I did? I said, man, when you look at my resume versus your son, your two sons, my brothers, I'm like, man, my resume is a little thicker than theirs. So I think they're probably having more sex than me.
That's hilarious. Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought up that point, that we have to be able to also have these conversations with our parents, with our family members, with, you know, other adults out there, like you said you had to have with, you know, your daughter's friend's mother, about what it is and what's going on and who you are as a person. We have to get people to see beyond the labels and beyond these titles that we've given each other and the visuals that media has given society to view. Okay, so if we move on just a little bit, because I have two more topics and then I'm going to wrap up the show, but my other one is being able, well, I actually have three more things to say. I read somewhere where a child told her mom that she didn't want her marrying a girl. And I think her child was maybe under 8 years old. And that is something,
wow.
How do we have these conversations with our kids when they don't know what's going on with us? You know, like you said, your child at the time, she knew, she understood. But how do we have these conversations when they don't understand and when they don't know? That is something that we really have to talk about, I think. And we can say even in the heterosexual world, I think that we have this thing where children are just supposed to be children. They're not supposed to have a voice. They're not supposed to have a thought about anything or any feelings or any emotions regarding anything that we do as a parent. And that is if we introduce them to a new boyfriend, if we introduce them to a new girlfriend, they're just supposed to accept it. And I highly disagree with that.
Kids get fed up too. You know, kids get stressed out. You know, they have anxiety. And, you know, I mean, kids get bullied. All different things happen in kids' life just like it does in an adult's life. So I think as early as possible you should start communicating with your child like they're an adult. Have real conversations with them. Don't talk baby talk to them. You know, you have to create a logical thinker. You know, a lot of times I feel like parents don't teach their kids to think for themselves or to have their own opinion. So what they do is they follow the opinions of others. They may actually love the person that you're going to marry and really like them, but because someone else said something or their peers, you know, feel a certain way or maybe they saw something on TV, it's totally changing their mind.
I definitely agree. I think that we have to create a space for our children to talk to us about whatever it is, especially about sexuality and sex, because those are extremely important things. Those are a lot of the things that drive society and what people do and how they treat each other. So some tips that I have are, first, it's never too early or too late to tell your child that you are same-gender-loving parent. And it's just basically, like you said, I love what you said about just letting them know. It's not, stop trying to hide it, stop trying to coddle. Just let them know, mommy loves women. You know, she's not like Miss Jane down the street who has a husband. She may have a wife one day. Or if you're already married to your spouse, being able to say you have two mommies and you don't have a mommy and a daddy, or even if the dad is still kind of a part of the life, because, of course, we know some lesbians aren't traditional. Some lesbians will allow their, you know, the donor to be a part of that life. And if that's the case, being able to say, you know, what role he played in their birth. I think that's very important. Kids need to know these things so they're not going out in the world receiving the wrong information and then coming to you and telling you something. I remember just thinking about my little sister because she was, you know, she was like maybe 11 years old, 12 years old when she found out about me. And she's like, oh, she's going to hell, Mama. And I'm like, oh, gosh. And it was because that little girl sent me to hell. But but I guess because in her head, she was raised in a Christian school. She went to a Christian private school, and we weren't even raised in a church. You know, she just went to a Christian private school, so she kind of heard some things about the Bible and all this kind of stuff, and she thought she knew what she knew, and so she would say that all the time, she's going to hell, and I don't like her anymore, but she likes girls. And I'm like,
wow.
I had to have a conversation with her and talk to her about sexuality and how fluid it is, and that, you know, maybe one day I will like a man. Who knows? You know, I don't know, but I had to talk to her. The best way that I could. But it's all about letting kids express themselves and not shutting them down and not saying, well, you're wrong. She's not going to hell. You know, we can't say that to children. They have a right to feel how they feel. They have a right to express. But it's about having a conversation, allowing them to have that space so they can learn what the truth is, as opposed to just shutting them up. Because when you shut them up, they're going to go out in the world and find another form of truth that's not even true. But in their head, that's the truth.
Right.
So you have to talk. But also making sure, I like that you said something about age appropriate, but you said it earlier, but making sure that you talk about things in an age appropriate way as well. Like, you're not discussing sex per se. You're discussing the love, the care, the attraction, and all that type of stuff. You're not going into, well, this is what we do when we get in the bed. Like, that type of stuff is
right.
What you say. Kids.
Right.
They don't need to hear that.
Yeah, that's TMI.
It's okay. Very much TMI, but some people think that that's what it's about, so that's what they have to discuss, and that's not true. You can make it easy. Also, I think you need to talk about the stereotypes. What stereotypes exist, and then start breaking them down so kids will understand that these stereotypes are just that. They're just stereotypes. They're not true. This is not something that actually happens.
There's a lot of crazy stereotypes out there.
Right, just like you said about your mom. You know, that is a huge stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that then maybe you may want to try to get them some other adults that they can talk to, because maybe they can't, maybe they don't know how to process it well with you. Some kids get very uncomfortable discussing sex with their parents. So maybe there's an auntie that you know that's really good at talking about it and understands it a little bit more, but giving them an outlet that they can talk to about their feelings, someone that can help them understand. And then also, it says in here, respect your kids' wishes. And I'm not sure what they're talking about how and who they come out to. About you. Oh, yeah, about if they decide to tell their friends. And sometimes we may make it obvious to their friends, but maybe they're not comfortable to have that discussion with their friends yet. And I think that's something that we should allow for our kids to talk about with their friends themselves. And then give an open door that if the friend wants to come and y'all want to talk about it together, whatever, give that open door. I don't know. What you think?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's the parent's job to use discretion as well. And that was always something that my ex and I practiced, is that we were affectionate in front of our daughter, but we didn't go overboard. Like, it was like friendship affection, because I don't believe in PDA. Like, I don't believe in kissing and all that stuff in public. That's just not me, you know. And I think, you know, parents should, you know, kind of pull back from all that, because kids have emotions as well. Kids have little feelings. I remember when I was as early as 5 years old, you know, beginning to feel different parts of my body and stuff like that. And just because you're the parent doesn't mean that you're not doing something that may spark something within that child. They see stuff on TV, you know, they're around friends, they, you know, they see kissing. They want to know what a kiss feel like, you know, so it's always use discretion with, you know, with PDA.
I like that point in a way. And I do have a caller. So, caller, I see you. Give me 1 second. I'm going to bring you on. I like that point. However, I do feel that kids need to know what safe expressions of love are. They have to know that.
Right.
Regardless of if it's same sex or heterosexual sex, they have to know what safe expressions of love are. Like a kiss on the cheek, holding hands, those are safe expressions to show someone that you love them and that you care about them. Because, you know, a lot of times kids hear that if you love me, you'll have sex with me. And that is
right. And
true.
See, that's why I said that's why I said use discretion with the PDA. Like, don't be smacking each other on the ass, you know, and, you know, in front of your kid. Like, just being respectful and being mindful that it is a child, and, you know, a child shouldn't see everything.
Yeah, I agree. A child shouldn't see everything. But, like, you know, holding hands, a little kiss on the cheek, stuff like that, I think is normal. Even a peck on the lips. I think those things are normal displays of affection. Because, you know, of course, age appropriate. But But kids have to know what's safe and what's not safe and what is right. And if we model safe sexual expression, then kids will understand that, no, for me to show you that I love you, I don't have to have sex with you. Or right. Love is not you hitting me. Or, you know, that type of stuff. Love is not you forcing me to do something. You know, so we do also have to model safe expressions, but I do think you have a great point. So I want to bring on this caller. This is 1573. Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi. You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so I was listening about the age-appropriate thing, and all kids are different. Children are different. Like, I'm a single parent of a female child, and when she was, like, aside from her dad, she's only seen me with women. Me and her dad went separate ways. She wasn't even one yet. And after that, she's only seen me with a woman. And she says to me, I think she was in kindergarten, and she came home and she was like, "Mommy, you like girls." And I'm okay with that, but I like boys. And I was like, whoa. I was like, okay. So you keep looking boys and you only like boys, you know, because I was like, I don't. A part of me was like, I don't want her to get that same prejudice that, you know, I receive coming up, going certain places and have to, you know, be a certain way and not allowed to be myself and be free with the person that I'm with and I'm loved that I'll share my life with. You know what I mean? And not want, and in a way, want to shelter her from having to go through that. I don't want you, you have to feel that you have to be curious about things. And I think it was so much of us just growing together and me speaking to her early about sex, you know, and you know, what shouldn't be touched and what's okay to touch. Like, your arm is okay, but once it goes up to your forearm, it's too close to, you know, the private part. So you keep the arm, keep it down here where the belly part is at, you know, like put the arm in. It's just the way that you speak to, just the way that you speak to them and explain, you know, to the child. Children really pick at an early age.
Right. They really do. I think kids do pick things up at an early age.
Let's go to the medicine.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. My phone just kind of cut out on me. But I do think that kids pick things up at a very early age, and they find it. We have to just make sure that when they do pick it up, we're able to talk to them about it, because that's the issue. If we're not able to talk to them about it, then that's going to push them to go and find it from somewhere else.
Yes. And
it may not be the safe response.
Right, you have to be honest. You have to be honest with them when they come to you with it. I mean, regardless how you feel about it, regardless how much, you know, how nervous you get, you have to be honest with them, because if you're not, they're going to tell. They're going to tell, and they're going to start seeking information elsewhere.
And then they're not going to trust you.
Exactly.
They're not going to trust you. So how does that feel to you?
Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off a little bit.
No, it's okay. I was just saying, then they'll come back to you saying, well, you said, and I found out this, so which one is, you know, which one is right? Which one is the truth? Because this is what you said, but this is what I read, or this is what somebody else said, or when they came to my school to talk about this, this is what they said. So what is it, you know? So you have to keep that.
That is so true. We have to make sure we're being honest so that we can maintain the trust that we have with our children so that they can feel safe enough to talk to us about other stuff. And that's good or bad, you know? And if we don't make it safe for them, then they're not going to discuss it with us, which makes it very hard for us to build a solid, genuine, honest relationship with our kids. How did you feel when she told you that. Were you ever at a place where you were going to have that conversation with her, and she just kind of did it for you, so you was like, whew, thank goodness it's over.
Well, it was kind of shocking because it kind of like came out of nowhere. Like we was just, and I was cooking, and she was just like in the kitchen, just looking at me, and you know, I'm like, what's going on, Jay? And she was like, Mommy, you like girls. And I'm okay with that. And I'm like, but when she was in preschool, my first wife, when she was in preschool, I remember me and my wife was in the car, and she took my wife's hand, and she was like in the middle, and she leaned over, and she took her hand. We had stopped to get something to eat. So she was like not belted in, and she took her hand and she put it on my neck, like on my hair, like to give mommy a hug.
Aww.
You know, and I was like, oh wow. And this is before I got married to that person, that she showed like I'm okay with this relationship. And at that time she was a pre-K, so she was like 4 years old.
And how old was she when she came and told you, Mommy, you like girls?
6. She was in kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
The next year, 5 years old. Because I remember she was in kindergarten. She said it. So I guess that's when, you know, I guess that's when she realized, I like boys. I don't like girls like Mommy. You know? So I guess she said, I need to go home and tell my mother that I'm not like her. You know, and that's why I was like, and I'm okay with that. And you stay liking boys, and you only like boys. You know, mommy likes who mommy like, and you like who you like. But you just remember what I said: what's off limits, and what's good. And then we just started talking, you know, and it was beautiful. And now she's 19 years old, and you know, she's just a beautiful young lady. I'm just so blessed. And we still have that open relationship, that open conversation all the way up from then.
I think that is beautiful because it starts at a very young age, and it creates such a great dynamic between you and your kids when you're able to have open, honest discussions from, you know, that young of age. Then as they grow older, if you maintain that line of communication, when they go through the rough times in relationships or when they're thinking about having sex, or even if we can transition into this now, even if they're deciding to come out the closet, now they can talk to you about it and they feel safe. And they hopefully, that you will still accept them. You mentioned something, you're like, and you say liking boys. Would you have had a problem had she said that she liked girls too?
No. I wouldn't have had a problem with it. I mean, I would have just hoped that it wasn't any influence, you know, of any actions of trying to be so safe. You know what I mean? And not want her to mimic or mark or try to put any type of how things are supposed to be or not supposed to be in her head, to let her come to that own conclusion of what she likes. And to me, I guess I did a pretty good job because she came out and said, I know what you like, but that's not what I like, you know. So I guess, you know, our little talks and, you know, and her asking me questions and me just being honest with her. And then, you know, and she looked at my girlfriend. She was like, it's okay to kiss my mom. Just don't kiss her in the mouth. And she was like 3-4 years old. She was like, I see you looking at my mom. It's okay to kiss her. Just don't kiss her in the mouth. You know, and then she'll turn around and say, well, you could kiss in the mouth, but don't kiss her a long time. And I'm like,
that is wonderful.
I'm like, oh my gosh, we haven't even got to that part yet. But you got to know, it's on TV, on games, it's out in the street. You know, it's on commercials. You cannot escape it. So you might as well speak to your children, be open and be honest with them about the heterosexual, the homosexual, the bisexual. As they grow, let them know, because they're going to find out. You can't hide it from them. You can't escape it unless you're living like a monk.
You're right about that. You have to talk about it. And I did want to talk about it, and you can stay on if you want to, and if you want to chime in, you can. I do want to talk about the fact that, you know, there are heterosexual parents out there, and there are also gay and lesbian parents out there who don't want their kids to be gay, who don't want their kids to be lesbian. And I've never understood why the same-sex couples don't want their kids to be gay or lesbian. I'm not sure why. And I think from what I've heard, that it's mainly because maybe the stigma and the bias and stereotypes and the discrimination.
That's what I said when she came to me and said that it was somewhat of a relief. I can't even deny that. It was some type of relief that I don't have to worry about her being in school and you know, that people being biased or, you know, being prejudiced against her, or a teacher treating her a kind of way because of the way they were brought up, and she liking girls at such a young age. And that's where that comment came from. It came from an innocent place. Not that I wouldn't have loved my child any more or less than I had already did. As a matter of fact, more, but definitely not less. You know, but just the fact that she would not have to go through those things that I had to go through. You know what I mean?
I think that's a wonderful point to make, and I think that is, I think the biggest fear, so I see that the biggest fear for maybe for our LGBT parents is the fact of the stigma and the discrimination. Mm-hmm. And then for heterosexual parents, I get a lot of, it's my fault. It's my fault. What did I do wrong? How did I raise them, you know, to be gay or lesbian? And they don't understand that it has nothing to do with how you raise your child, per se. I always say it's a mixture of nature and nurture. Nurture being, you know, of course, how they were raised, but nature being is from the womb. Our sexuality is already there. It is what it is. And then as we grow up, and we get older, based on how we are raised, it develops more. It's going to develop more towards heterosexual. It's going to maybe be in the middle, or it may be, which is the bi, or it may be, you know, all the way to the other end, gay or lesbian, by the way we are raised. Because a lot of people who are raised in religious households, they don't normally come out till late in life. Because they've been told that you're only supposed to marry a man, or you're only supposed to, you know, you're only supposed to marry the opposite sex. So they will suppress those feelings, and then they come out later in their 30s or their 40s, or maybe in their late 20s, sometimes in their 50s or 60s, after they've been married, have had kids. Right. So, but this is what I could tell heterosexual parents. You have to understand that sexual identity does not determine who your child is as a person. It doesn't change them as a person. Their personality is still the same. If they've been comedic and funny, and or they love to sing, or they're creative, whatever, all of that remains the same. Everything that you've known about this child that you've raised remains the same. It's just who they choose to love. And that is, I think if our heterosexual parents can get that, then they will be able to accept their child even more. Mm-hmm. And understand that it has nothing to do with you. Their sexuality really, at the end of the day, has nothing to do with you. You're not a bad parent because your child has come out to you as gay or lesbian. Oh, Lord. And I think the other thing that they think about, too, is all the dreams that I have of my child, of getting married and having kids, is never going to happen. And those things can still happen, especially with this new law that was passed. They can go and get married, honey, and it's legal. They can still have the wedding dress, the tuxedo. It may not be the traditional, you know, type
right.
of thing, but it still can happen. And the point is seeing that your child is loved and healthy, because they can go and be in a heterosexual relationship and be in an abusive one. Or
exactly.
they can be with this same-sex person, not to say that same-sex relationships are not abusive, but I'm just saying they can be with the same-sex person who that you see is loving, caring, taking care of your child, being there for your child, and you see their relationship is loving. Like, that is should make the difference. Sexuality is really not as important as we make it.
Right.
Well, I think this has been a good show tonight. I hope people have gained, you know, some type of something from it, some type of closure, some type of answers have been answered, questions have been answered from this show, and you come away with learning that it's important to talk to your kids about sexuality. If you don't, then they're going to go out there and find it from someone else. So we have to have a conversation. We have to create a space for people to come to us and talk to us about it. It's very, very important. And the more normal we make it, the more normal they can make it. And it won't be as difficult. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts tonight.
You're very welcome. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. I will be posting the next show very soon. I'm not sure what I'm doing next week, but we have a few ideas. So we'll post it really, really soon, and we will talk about it. And everyone knows that you could join us on Saturday, Brunch in the Basement with Jabon from 11 to 1. It is her birthday show, so her birthday is coming up. So I want you all to make sure you tune in. And then on Sunday, we have Sunday Evening Shout with Jabon from 6:30 to 8:30. And, of course, you come back to me on Monday at 10 p.m., the G-Spot with Mika Ray. You can listen to all of our shows on blogtalkradio.com/WJBR. Also, we have all of our shows on podcast on iTunes, so you can listen to them there as well. And I am trying to find us a song to, I guess, go out
Hello?
With tonight.
Hello?
You say what now?
Oh,
yeah,
you say
I'm
you
here.
Were missing. You said you were going to send me the link. I never received it. For Saturday?
Okay. Oh, okay. Can you inbox me so I'll make sure I'm sending it to the right person? I think
sure,
I know
I will.
Who you are. Okay. Inbox
yeah,
me,
you.
And then I will send it to you.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I'll do that. I'll inbox you.
All right, honey. Well, I appreciate your support, and I guess tonight I'll play Juicy Fruit. So I'll play that, and I hope you all have a great night.
You have a blessed one. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
I need it.